Our seventh and final reading from the Bible this morning is from Titus, where St. Paul declares the purpose of Christ's coming in our life. I'm going to read Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14, and then go on to chapter 3, verses 4 to 7. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. When the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs to the hope of eternal life. What if it's true? What if, as the Christian story says, it's true? God really has done this for every man, woman, and child on this planet. That's the question that the church always has to put to the world that is around us at Christmas time. Because for millions of people around the world over these last few years, epic storytelling has become part of the Christmas celebrations. Some of us may remember, three Christmases in a row when we had those wonderful films of The Lord of the Rings. I confessed in a sermon one year that the high spot of my Christmas celebration had been going to see The Lord of the Rings. That was frowned upon. Rightly so. But for a lot of people, at Christmas, these great stories are told. There were the 3 years when we had The Lord of the Rings. Much too short those films were, but never mind. Over the years, there's been others. I think one year we had The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Yes, the wonderful story of Narnia and the Lion, the Witch, and the... I really enjoyed that. I thought it was a great film. Other films that have come out at Christmas time, there's been Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. And this year, very controversially, I think 20th of December, it came out in Hong Kong, Philip Pullman's The Golden Compass, complete with great polar bears in suits of armor and all sorts of things. It's very controversial, this movie, because The Golden Compass is a book, and I've read all of Philip Pullman's book, in which Pullman sets out really to try and destroy God. He paints a fantasy world in which God is old and tired and horrible, and the church is mean and oppressive. Very, very interesting that he set out to do this. But of course, all these blockbuster movies that millions of pounds are spent on, they are fantasy. I just want to be clear, none of these places are real. Middle Earth, Narnia, Hogwarts, they don't exist. They exist only as a gleam in the eye of the chief of the New Zealand Tourist Board when it came to the Lord of the Rings. He probably says they're true, but he has a reason for that. No, they're not real. At its most limited, fantasy is escapism. For a few hours, we pretend to inhabit a different world, and we forget about our problems. We just kind of lose ourselves in these great stories and these great images that are out there before us. But at its very best, these fantasy worlds can engage our imaginations, and we watch life explored on a bigger, more spectacular canvas. And the real question is, what if it's true? What if it's true? Not the fantasy itself. No, as I've said, all these places are made up. The stories are made up. But what if behind these exhilarating stories that millions of people, men and women, they enjoy and they read them and they watch them and they go to the movies and they spend millions of pounds buying the merchandising, what if behind these stories, these made-up stories, there is another story? Another story that at their very best, these fantasies remind us of. that these stories that are at the cinema and the books, they remind us of half-forgotten truths that get crowded out of our lives in the busyness of life here in Hong Kong. What if it's true that it is through struggling against adversity and making great sacrifices for a great cause that will bring us to the best destiny we can ever hope for? What if it's true? What if it's true that there is a battle of good against evil? That justice is built into the universe? That there is a place, even a person, through which we can discover the glory of a redeemed and renewed world, which will fulfill all these dreams and hopes more wonderfully than even the movie makers can do? What if it's true that there is a rescuer who battles with evil at a terrible cost and then gives the victory to others? What if it's true? A couple of years ago, as I said, I really enjoyed seeing the movie version of The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, the world of Narnia brought to life on the big screen. And for me, there were two moments in that movie, that fantasy story, that really stood out. The first moment is when one of the characters describes what life is like in this fantasy land of Narnia under the rule of the evil White Witch. What's life is like? If you remember the story, well, Tumnus the Fawn explains to the young girl, Lucy, what Narnia is like. And he says, life in Narnia is always winter, but never Christmas. Always winter, but never Christmas. If you've lived through an English winter, or even an English summer, come to think of it, you'll appreciate how bleak that sounds. Always winter, never Christmas. Just four words that sum up what life can feel like. It can feel just so bleak. You know, it can just come upon us when the circumstances or situations in life are hard. It can just feel like there's no kind of light at the end of the tunnel. Always winter, and yet never Christmas. It reminds us that hope is essential to life, as is oxygen. That was a great moment in the film about summing up the kind of problem. My second moment from that film about Narnia is at the point where the evil White Witch seems to triumph. Really scary, the lady was playing the White Witch. If anybody likes Star Trek, she was also played the Borg Queen in one of us. That's completely irrelevant, I apologize. And just at the point where she was about to triumph, Aslan the Lion lies bound and beaten, and his mane shaved lies on the cruel stone table. And she raises a wicked knife. And just before what seems like a triumph, as she's going to plunge this knife into Aslan the Lion and kill him, she says to him what a fool he is for thinking that by giving up his life for others, he can do anything to stop her, because now she's just going to do what she wants. And with supreme contempt, she dismisses Aslan with the words, "So much for love." And she plunges the knife. So much for love. Just like the powerful in every time and place, she forgets that love is the most powerful and the only enduring quality in the universe. Everything else will fail and fade, but love will endure. What if it's true? What if it's true that the Christian story claims to be true and real in a way that none of these stories ever can be? All these amazing computer-generated effects and stop-motion animation or whatever they use these days. This is no fantasy. The Christian story is the story. It is the great story that at their best, all these other stories pick up hints and little signs, little bits of meaning. And behind them stands the true story. The story of Jesus, who claims to be the truth. Something we can build our lives on. Something we can trust our lives to. As we heard in our reading from Titus, the kindness and love of God comes to us in Jesus. I love that phrase. That it's actually the kindness and love of God. That God deals with us in a kind way and a loving way. And that kindness and love both forgive us and transform us. The story of Jesus is true in uncomfortable ways. It's true in ways that maybe we don't want it to be true. True in ways that disturb us and make us stop and think. The story of Jesus and his birth that we remember at Christmas makes me realize that, well, I thought I knew the way. I thought I knew the path like I know the back of my hand. But after all my wandering around, I discover I actually need a map. I need someone to show me the way. Discovering the story of Jesus, it's like finally reading the instructions. I waste all this time proving there really is no such thing as easy self-assembly. Whatever it says on the box, they're lying. I discover I need to read the instructions. The Christmas story of Jesus is not fantasy. It's not escapist. The scenery and the backdrops of shepherds and all that seemed to be a long time ago in a country far, far away. But fundamentally, it is about here and now and us. In a nutshell, the Christian story, the Christian gospel says that the creator of this world really does become a creature, one of us. He submits to suffering for the sake of transforming the world he made and winning the battle with evil. And then he gets involved in making that transformation visible and tangible in our lives and through us. What if it's true? The genuine message of Christmas puts us in touch with truth and reality and demands that we live changed lives. And I know lots of people here already. In the short time I've been here at Charting Church, there'd be a whole load of us who could say yes. This story, this gospel has changed my life. As I look around, I know there are people here that story that is true of. Many of us have found that reality through things like the Alpha Course. And if you're not clear about whether the Christian story is true, well, we've got an Alpha Course getting underway. I think it's early in February. So please take this as a personal invitation from me to come on that and discover more of the truth. This morning, if you'd like to find a little bit more about how the Christmas story speaks into our lives, we've got this little booklet, Why Christmas, available at the back of the building there, just to explain about how we can come back to God and say sorry and thank you and find our way back to God. It's an invitation to find out that it's true. So then what if it's true? The Christian story that says that God intends to be involved in our lives and that is the best thing that can ever happen to us. And it's true.